Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, August 9th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 4, page 47, in We Agnostics, starting with the first paragraph, beginning with When Therefore. We're going to read through that one paragraph only, and it ends in however limited it was. We will be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Don B. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Julie E. B., and Don B. Our newcomer greeter today is Janice P. M. and Reggie O. for our announcements. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, August 8th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,255. That's 13255. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, August 9th, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,257. That's 13257. OA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. Overeaters and OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Don B. to read our 12 steps. Don?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Don B. from Southern California, the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Don B. And now Athena B. will be reading our 12 traditions. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B., and these are our traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Well, thank you, Athena B. Thank you for your service this morning. How are meeting
works? You're welcome.
Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that means please don't use the mute button on your phone, but use star 1 to mute and unmute. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 47, paragraph 1, and we agnostics. We're going to read that one paragraph only, beginning with when therefore. And now we'll ask Jordanelle to get us to read, please. Jordan?
Awesome. Good morning. My name is Jordanelle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. and this is We Agnostics out of the Big Book. When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies to other spiritual expressions which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious relation with God as we understood him. Afterwards, we found ourselves accepting many, many things which then seemed out of reach. That was growth, but if we wished to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. Grateful to be on the line this morning. This paragraph is probably one of the most important ones in the book. When you are using the Big Book as directions to go through the 12 steps, to walk through the 12 steps. Because this is the paragraph... this is the paragraph that's letting us know that absolutely anyone can do this. no matter how agnostic you are, no matter how much of a relationship you already have with the higher power, absolutely anyone can do this. and so for me, in going through the 12 steps, and getting to step 2 and coming to believe in a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. For me, that was not so much about, it was not so much about what I needed to come to believe in, but much more so, especially the first time going through the steps entirely abstinent, it was more so about what I needed to let go of. Because I had a lot of old ideas that were stopping me from even making this beginning, right? And it says right here, that was growth. If we wish to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So I just needed a starting point. And I had a lot of prejudice against spiritual terms. To be totally honest, when I first started listening to A Vision for You, the people that talked so adamantly about their higher power, they really freaked me out, like completely and totally. I remember my sponsor did a special edition right around the time I got abstinent, and I remember listening to her special edition and thinking, like, what a wackadoodle. she might be listening now. I love her now. and absolutely have a ton of respect for her recovery. But when I first came in here, there were spiritual terms that were deterring me. So it was really, really important to let go of those old ideas so that new ones could start coming in. and it was very much my experience that things that seemed entirely out of reach, like the type of relationship that my sponsor had with her higher power, that seemed entirely out of reach for me. I started to...
Time?
I'll wrap up. I started to accept things like that and started to grow and continue to. It's very important that I have a higher power that continues to grow with me. So anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L., for getting us started. So, again, we're reading in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on page 47, that first paragraph, starting with therefore. We're going to read through that. We're going to share on that one paragraph only. Who would like to share?
Summer D. from SoCal. Summer D. from SoCal.
Everybody kind of came right in all at the same time. So if I could hear one voice at a time, that would be great.
Jennifer.
Roz.
Summer D.
Okay, I heard a Roz.
Julie.
Freya.
Did I hear a Leia?
Freya.
Sorry about that. Freya. Freya H.
Kara.
Okay, and I heard Kara L.
Amanda.
And I heard
Julie.
Somebody who pronounced SoCal. So who was that?
Amanda B.
It was Summer D.
Okay, Summer D. Gotcha.
Thanks, sir.
Uh-huh.
Robin Jo B.
Okay, you know what? If you guys would wait, I'll catch you on the next round. I heard a Robin, so we'll start with a Robin on the next round. I think it was Robin Jo B, I think I heard. So we'll put you on the next round, the first one, Robin. So this is who I have. Jennifer, I need your first initial of your last name. Roz G, Freya H, Kara L, Amanda, I need your last initial and Summer D. So let's get started. Jennifer, what's your last initial of your first name, please?
It's W.
Okay, Jennifer, yeah. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hello, my name is Jennifer W, and I'm a compulsive eater in recovery from Sweden, calling in here. It's been a while. I've been sharing, and I'm really grateful to be at the Vision for You. And I was thinking when I heard this text, thanks for reading, that we have this expression, like Rome wasn't built in a day, it takes a while. And we that has a food addiction or an addiction of any kind, we are kind of black and white. And we want things and we want it now, and it gets too big, like for the sugar and the flour, saying that I will never again eat this, it's going to be too big. And that's why I love the one day at a time slogan that you can use. Just for today, I'm going to stay abstinent. And I guess this is the same thing with the God idea, that You can't, you, and also you need to practice. You need to practice things before you can become an expert. And you have to just start with the first step. And that to me is something which I can sometimes have a hard time with, because before, when I was in the disease, I would want everything now, and I would start thinking that I would be like knowing the things already. And then when I felt I didn't, I beat it on myself and I just stopped and I ate. So it's really, it's great. I love the slogans and I love the program, and just like for growth, that's also what I find, that in recovery, it's actually me growing, becoming like an adult. And I'm really happy to be, because I had a hard time with the God thing in the beginning, but now I feel that I like the fact that you find your own conception of God and start there. So it's really great, and I look forward to listen to all your shares. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer W. Roz G., you're up, followed by Freya H. Roz?
Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Taking a walk, you may hear some traffic. Wow, acceptance of the spiritual expressions which you find in this book. You know, every time a new sentence pops out to me, no matter how many times I read this book, and for the first time I'm looking at this, spiritual expressions, there's a lot of them, and they fit for everybody. Director, father, principal, employer, the broad highway, the father of lights, higher power, creative intelligence, enlarging my spiritual life. I believe, and there's more, but I believe that every one of those expressions gives everybody, includes everyone. Everybody can relate in some other way. And in whatever time they're in. As for me, I need a higher power in my employment. I need, you know what I mean? Like, God is my employer now, not my employer. Because when I go to work, when God is my employer, capital E, I certainly have a way better attitude than I did before. I wasn't working for my I'm not working for my paycheck, although it's helpful. And it provides me a lot of material things. It does not provide me spiritual growth. God, my employer, capital E, does. My principal does. Funny, I work in education. And without a principal, our school would be in chaos. We need somebody to run it. I need a principal of my life. I'm so grateful. I did not accept these spiritual terms in the beginning. I was prejudiced against them because of my religious background. How dare you call God anything else? But these are spiritual terms that guide me every day and give me a way better attitude and keep me abstinent. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And Freya H., you're up, followed by Kara L. Freya?
Good morning. This is Freya H. in Colorado. Really grateful to get to speak up this morning. What comes to mind when I hear this paragraph is all of the different conceptions of God. And it doesn't mean that some are right and some are wrong. I was brought up with the idea that that people, you know, people from all over the world and all throughout time, all throughout history, have had different conceptions of God. And so they've, you know, given God different names and different characteristics and have different, you know, different stories about the way that God works. And that doesn't mean that God is different. It's because, because people are different. And so in order to have their own, you know, own understanding, people see God differently. And, you know, I also hear people say a lot on this line that, you know, God is, you know, like the God of my understanding is beyond my understanding. I, you know, God is so vast that I can't comprehend it. I can't wrap my brain around it. And, you know, all of that makes so much sense to me, that God is so vast that I just see one little like sliver of what God is, you know, how God appears in my life. And other people have different perspectives and viewpoints, and they see God in a different way. And it doesn't mean, it just means we're seeing different parts of what God can be. And, you know, my understanding or belief is that God is infinite. And so that makes total sense, you know, like that I'm just getting to see, you know, the part of God that is working for me. And I guess what I'm asked to do in this program is, you know, to really consider, is it working for me? Is this concept of God working for me? And if it's not, I can reevaluate, you know, what is my conception, and can I formulate a new conception? Because God is that big. So grateful to be reading this. And the other thing that kind of makes me chuckle is that it says, this applies to the other spiritual expressions you may find. And I would apply that as well to, you know, sometimes people get really thrown off by like the old fashioned language or the, you know, the male centered language. And in the paragraph previous, it says, you know, it is open, we believe, to all men. So even as it's encouraging us to, you know, be open minded about accepting God, it's still using this archaic language. And I can apply that same principle. Like, I don't need to let this kind of language, this not contemporary language in which this book is written, deter me from hearing the message in this book. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Freya H. Okay, Kara L., you're up, followed by Amanda, and I'll need your last initial when you come up, Amanda. Kara L.?
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for everybody doing service in the meeting today and everybody that's joining us here participating in my recovery. I am blessed to be able to be a part of this group. I did too identify with the line, do not let prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you. And honestly ask yourself what they mean to you. And I think that's, you know, for me, with my higher power, I had a real fixed mindset on what my higher power was and what my higher power could do. And once I was able to just open the door a crack, just see a little light coming through and say, okay, what does it really mean to me? And once I was able to work through the steps and get myself, you know, I lived in self, and get that lessened a bit and start leaning into that higher power, I could start accepting more spiritual terms, and I could see, oh, I only see this pinprick of my life, and my higher power sees it all. And if I'm willing to believe that I can only see a pinprick, that maybe my thoughts and how I think things should be might not be. And what if I just let that drop and I just said, okay, higher power, show me. And I kept asking my higher power for direction throughout the day. And I lived as if that were true. And when I started doing that, that's when things started changing. When I started becoming teachable and when I started to be willing to let go of everything that I thought I knew. And I just said, well, what if? And I leaned into that. Then things started happening. The food became easier. I was able to see my part more easily in my interactions with my family and friends and my relationships with the world. And now it's just like, okay, God, should I have milk or yogurt this morning? Okay, you know, which color lipstick should I wear today? Should I turn right or left? And just lean into the answers that I get and trust. And sometimes, yeah, I want to be a little foolish and sometimes not. But I'm much more willing to lean into that today. So I'm so thankful everybody's here today. Have a wonderful day, my loves and friends. With that, I'll pass. Pass.
Kara L. Amanda, we need the last initial of, I mean, the first initial of your last name. Amanda?
It's Amanda B.
Amanda
Are you looking?
Baker. Okay.
Yeah, B as in Baker.
Thank you, Amanda. And we'll hear from Summer D after that. But before we hear from Summer, we have some announcements. Okay, go ahead, Amanda B.
Yeah, this is Amanda B. from Toronto, recovering compulsive overeater. Well, this paragraph to me is about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I just finished reading Spiritual Experience again this morning in the back of our book, and keeping to this paragraph, it basically says to me all we needed to commence spiritual growth. This whole idea, the whole book is about spiritual growth, rearrangements, displacements, and a new growth. So all I need is all I need. It says, like, I love all I need because it just doesn't make it too hard. It's afterwards we found ourselves accepting many things which seemed entirely out of reach. And so when I'm in step one, when I'm in step two, when I'm anywhere and I just have disbelief about how is God going to fix this? How is God going to impact this? Is this really God? I don't even have to know. I learned so early in program, maybe like 15 years ago or later, I don't know, that why is such a useless question. I don't need to know why I have this addiction, why, blah, blah, blah. All I need to know is that there is a solution and that things that seem entirely out of reach can come into my reach. And it says that was growth. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to grow, like grow out of my old skin and into new skin. If I wish to grow, I had to just begin somewhere, you know, and it's through all through the book. It says these are instructions. These are directions. The only place it said these are stories is on the title page. Here it says these are directions. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. And I know for me as a compulsive overeater, I'm just so tough on myself. How am I ever going to get there? So much so that it keeps me out of the solution. And so this paragraph is saying, it's okay, Amanda, just chill the heck out. It's okay. Whatever little conception, if you think that that plant is God, okay, go for it. It doesn't matter. However limited it was, I'm going to start accepting things which seem entirely out of reach. And I like that it says we found ourselves accepting them. It's not like I set out to accept them. I just woke up one day and I found myself accepting things I wouldn't have seen before. So again, I think this is about, for me, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And it's just saying, honestly, ask myself what those spiritual terms mean to me. If they mean it's, you know, God is love, if they mean God is a plant, if they mean that God is the inside voice, whatever. What I've come to know is what God is not. And that's, you know, kind of colors in the blanks for me as to what God is. And I don't even have to know for this to work. I don't even have to know what it is for me to have spiritual growth and have a first relationship with God. All I have to do is go on that first date. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Amanda B. And before we hear from Summer D, just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're on page 47, the first paragraph, beginning with "When Therefore." Summer, go ahead, please.
Hi, Sherry KB. Can I be heard? Hello? Can I be heard?
We can hear you, Summer. Thank you. Hello? Star 1 to unmute, Summer. We can't hear you, Summer.
We can hear you.
Hi there. I am so sorry. Can you hear me now? Can I be heard?
We can hear you.
Thank you very much, David. Okay. So, all right. Hi, everyone. This is Summer, gratefully recovered in Southern California. Thank you all, Team Friday, for your service. Welcome to our newcomers. It's so great to have you on the line today. And, you know, for me, this paragraph, the first sentence stood out, your own conception of God. And it's also in the last sentence, our own conception. I'm reminded that on page 12 in Bill's story, the second place where italics are showing up in the book, which, as we have learned before, italics were expensive to print back in those days. Ebby asked Bill, why don't you choose your own conception of God? His next reply is, that statement hit me hard. You know, and for me, this is why I now believe and live in the reality that steps 2 and 10 are the most underutilized steps. Because if I'm in insanity, or if I'm thinking crazy, which is most of the day, I have to remember that what's happening is step 2 is breaking down for me, and I've got to get back to believing that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. You know, yesterday I had the privilege of being able to offer service publicly on this line and on this call, and I just can't express the gratitude that I have for the vision community. In our preamble, I noticed yesterday that we talked about the directions in the big book. The word directions are mentioned twice. And fortunately, by God's grace, I was taken through these steps by the directions of the book with nothing added. And the power and the velocity at which I have had a spiritual awakening is almost I can't even put it into words, and how I continue to have spiritual growth. And as we learned earlier this week from one of our other fellows, you know, the main thesis in our book is, well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. This book and this fellowship and working this program intensely with others is the main object of my life. And I do that because I see that that's how I keep growing. Like, I can't grow if I'm in the food. I can't grow if I'm codependently looking for other people to help me guide my way. Every time I call my sponsor, his question is, well, Summer, what did God say? You know, have you talked to God about that? You know, and it's true. You know, the main objective is for me, and at the end of the vision for you, you know, it's all about us finding a reliance on God, but I had to learn a new concept of God. I had to understand that, you know, the God I knew, and my gods were my parents, and unfortunately, they didn't have a relationship with a God. They were the opposite of the God I know today. But you know what? Today I get to learn a whole new way of living, and this book gives me the ability to have a new design for life, and for that I'm very grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Summer G. And so now we're going to open it up again to hear some shares. We're on page 47, paragraph 1. I have Robin Jo B., and then who else would like to share?
Christina J.
I heard something J.
Christina J.
Christina J. Okay.
Yes.
Shannon D.
Sarit L.
And I've got Sarit L.
Julie.
I heard somebody before that.
Irene B.
I got you, Irene B.
Oh, thank you.
And
Shannon
I have room for two more.
Julie
E. I heard Julie E. B. And one more, please.
Beth W.
Michael M.
I'm sorry. I heard, was it Beth W.?
Cat
W. Okay.
Michael M.
Okay, Michael, if we have time, I'll try to get you on, but I'm not sure. But you see what I can do, okay? All right. So I have Robin Jo B., Krista D., Sarit L., Irene B., Julie E. B., and Kat somebody. Kat. Okay, we'll get to you, Kat.
I think it's
and possibly
W.
Michael. Okay, so Robin Jo B., please begin.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Yep, this is Robin Jo B. in Northern Missouri. Recovered from several different eating disorders by God's grace and for His glory. And this concept of a higher power for me, I had when I came in, and I had 15 years. I came to OA and I tried to do it on my own, live in a very rural area, blah, blah, blah. Was going to just get the books and do it myself. And all of the HP stuff turned me off, just like I'm sure all of the God stuff turned a lot of other people off. And I thought, I wanted it to be God. I didn't want it to be HP. I wanted it to be God, my God, the God that I truly believed in. And so I turned around and left for 15 years, the same way other people have turned around and left, until I finally got so desperate that I came back and realized, you know, that my God is my higher power, and your higher power can be whatever you want it to be. But the God that I believed in, I believed with all my heart, and I believed him for salvation. I believed with all my heart, and still do, that, you know, I am saved from eternal hell, and that being nothing that I had ever done, that is, you know, the work of my Lord. But I couldn't see that with the food. And see, when I finally realized that, okay, Robin, you cannot save yourself, neither can you make yourself abstinent. See, I was always thinking that this God that I loved so much was angry with me because I was treating this body that I believed he lived in so terribly. And so I had all this guilt. Besides the eating disorders, I had the guilt that my God was upset with me. Well, then when I came into program and I realized, God does not want me doing this. No more than he expects me to save myself from hell does he expect me to save myself from the food. And it just snapped. I've been saved from hell. I've been saved from sugar and flour and very recently stevia, which I held on to with pride like a baby just a couple weeks ago, because I finally have gave it up, and I am completely free for me. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Reverend J.B. And Christina D., you're up, followed by Sarit L. Christina D.?
Hi there.
That's
can
D,
you?
Actually.
Christina J.
Christina J. Hey, there I go.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm honored to have slipped in. Honored to have slipped in, and I thank everyone for their great service. And I don't get to share much because I work every day at this time, but on Fridays I'm off, so I try to get in and get a few words, and hopefully it'll help someone and me. I grew up in religion, Pentecost to be exact, and it was a lifesaver for me because at home everything was traumatic, dramatic, completely insane, and it was the one thing as a little child I held on to. I remember feeling God's presence with me everywhere. I went, I felt protected, and I was protected as I look back, as I walked the streets in Oakland, California as a young girl in the poor district because we were poor. And my mother would send me to the laundromat every night to do laundry by myself on the bus at 10 years old. So I was damn protected. But anyway, in my church, and in churches at that time, as far as I knew, you couldn't be a member of another church, because if you went to the Baptist church, you go to hell. If you went to the Catholic church, well, they didn't have it right. It was only our church that had it right. So there was some prejudice. And about 17, 18, I left the church. I walked out into the world after the church service and everything seeming so spiritual and wonderful, and I saw such a vast difference in the energy in the world and the energy inside the church. And I thought, this is not getting out to people. I'm going to live my life and let life teach me. So what I learned through the years is, for every man there's a religion, which relates right back to this paragraph, create your own concept of God. God's going to get to us however he can get to us. If that means he wants you to worship a rock, he's going to get to you through that rock, and that's going to be your higher power or nature, like many people have said, which I truly relate to. Because this is about letting go of a lower self and accepting a concept of a higher power, a power that is based on not on our character defects, but some power we can surrender to and live in peace and happiness and intuitive guidance. That's the thing, intuitive guidance. Until we surrender these character defects and these lower levels of self, this fear, this the dishonesty, the self-centeredness and selfishness which just run rampant through my body, even though I was in church and believed God was protecting me. I was in control and thought every thought in my brain was coming from God. It cracks me up now. But now that I'm working program and I feel such surrender, I don't have to worry about things. And every day I face challenges and I think, well, God, you have this. I don't have to worry about it. And I got to work it, of course, because it's not always easy to let that go. But the truth is, however God can get to us, each one of us, that's what he's going to do. And to respect other people and how God is reaching them is, I think, what this paragraph is saying here. So I thank everyone for sharing today. I look forward to the rest of the shares, and thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Krista J. And Sarit L., you're up, followed by Irene B. Sarit?
Hi, thank you so much, Sherry, for your service. It's Sarit L. Just going to raise my volume. I hope you hear me clear. I wanted to share because step two, I mean, I'm also a religious person, grew up religious, and yet I just couldn't find my higher power. I just couldn't get to him. And he really couldn't get to me because I was blocking him out. And what I've learned as a starting point is that I really didn't have to figure anything out. I really didn't. I just had to do the work. I just had to do it, and it works, and it really works. And so when my sponsor tells me, you know, go to God or ask him, or she tells me, I think God directed me to do this, or I heard God say this. And I hear people in programs say that to me as well. And I said to my sponsor, like, how does God talk to you? I never heard God. How is he going to talk to me? And will he do that ever? And do you remember when you were in recovery 3 months in, did he talk to you? Like, does that really happen? And she just reassured me that it takes on different forms. God takes on different forms. It can come in a phone call from a fellow. It can come in a walking. It can come in during prayer, anything. But I have to do the work. It takes work to seek God. And that means the pause. That means the meditation. And my daughter was outside playing with a skip-it the other day this week. And she says, Mommy, it doesn't work. And she's trying to jump and she's flopping all over her legs. And I said to her, we just have to work it. It really does work. And I chuckled because it's exactly the same with program when people say it just doesn't work or we're not getting spiritually awakened or inspired. It does work. There's just maybe a different method or something else. And I don't have to figure out why. I love when someone said that. It's like I was in Boston this week by my mom with clutter, with centipedes, with mess, with four kids and a sick husband. I am back in Montreal in my own setting. I am not struggling. I am not starting day one. God walked me through that, not me. It's possible. So I don't have to question. I don't have to ask why. We lean into him. He does for us. He did for me. And it's been said in these rooms, test God. So I just tell any newcomer, take any higher power. Borrow your sponsor's higher power. I believe when I came in that he recovered all of you who spoke on the lines. And today I believe he can do it for me. I've been privy to those miracles. And with that, I'll pass. Just I'm coming back. Thank you.
Sarit L. And Irene B., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Irene B., star one to unmute, please.
Sorry. This is Irene B. Thank you so much for your service. I am gratefully in... miraculously recovered from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The spiritual awakening, I have an understanding of what that is now. It seems like God is amazing and he works in our life. He has worked in my life on his own timeline. And I don't understand his plan. I don't. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I don't understand his ways. And I don't have to. All I have to do is trust him. And all I have to do is seek him with all my heart, mind, and soul. Well, people have been telling me that for years, really. All my Christian people, teachers, mentors, they've been telling me that for years, and I either rebelled or didn't know how to go about it. And I have to admit that I tried with all my heart, mind, and soul to get close to God. And I couldn't on my own accomplish it. I just couldn't. But then, by the grace of God, I came into OA 2 years ago this month. And this program has taught me how to get close to God, how to get access to God. And God has responded to a way that somebody else devised. This is not my device. This is not my plan. This is not my tool. That, and I'm not talking about the program, I'm talking about me. Everything that I did just didn't work. And then I came upon this program that does work. And it is miraculous. And it is effective. It works. And it just blows my mind. And I am so full of gratitude to the program itself. And most of all, to all the visionaries who are teaching me how to go about doing this program, how to follow it instead of making up my own. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Irene B. Julie B. and Kat, I don't know your last initial, but we have about a minute and a half each. If you could go ahead, Julie E.B. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. I'm just grateful to share today and to be a part of this meeting. So much insight and wisdom. I want to focus on a little bit different section. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. Deter you. Oh, my gosh. All the things that deterred me. A cookie would deter me from happiness because one led to a bag, led to a binge. And one extra bite would deter me from honestly asking myself if I was happy or if this was really working for me. An emotional firestorm would deter me. The actions of somebody else at work would deter me from thinking that I could be a part of a blessing, that I could be a part of good things. So many things deterred me from honestly asking myself if it was working to be my own God, if it was working to run the show. Just yesterday, I was trying to provide helpful, quote, feedback to a colleague and just realized that for me to do that is to step into a God role, that my boss was encouraging me to do that, but it just doesn't work for me to criticize, fault find. I need to think about what are the things today that are deterring me. Nothing could deter me from getting my next bite of my binge food, but so many things deterred me from starting, from calling a sponsor, from reaching out, from doing a 10-step, from whatever I need to do to follow something greater than me. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. And Kat, last initial, and you've got a minute and a half, please.
Hello?
Kat? I'm looking for Kat.
Oh, I'm a newcomer.
Okay. If you could hang with us on the line, we'll just, if you wait till after the Serenity Prayer, I think we're not going to have time for Kat. Sorry about that, Kat. If you wait on the line after we do the Serenity Prayer, we'd be happy to talk with you. Okay? So that's actually all the time we have for sharing. I'm sorry about that, Kat and Michael. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for sharing this morning. We had some awesome shares in Team Friday, which was Karen B., Athena B., Jordan L., Julie E. B., Dawn B., Janice P. M., and Reggie O. And now, Julie E. B. will read page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie, our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you till then.
I am a woman of many names, Julie E. B., gratefully recovered here in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.